And we are back with another episode of Permanent Record presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy Mr. aka Super Raw 357, best known as Prince Godbody, and I'm joined by
the God King Hoopla, also known as the kid who lyrics stick to your rib.
And that little add-on is more appropriate today than ever before, because with this episode of Permanent Record, as you know, we'll be reviewing another one of our favorite albums, and today's album that we'll be reviewing is Reasonable Drought by Stovegod Cooks, that is entirely produced by Rock Marciano. And a lot of people really aren't too, I would say, familiar with Stovegod. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I think that
he's not like the biggest underground rapper per se. Well, he's kind of, I'll take that back, he's one of the more popular underground
he
rappers.
Might be, yeah.
If you know, he's one of those, if you know, you know.
Yeah, so if you don't know anything about Stovegod Cooks is a rapper from upstate New York. He's signed under Busta's conglomerate, you know. He's attached to that. If you know what Busta's conglomerate is, going back to the early 2000s, you know what I'm saying, you're familiar with that. And he's also pretty much the star of...
It's crazy that you say that.
He's actually kind of the star of a lot of the first half of Fly God 2.
Yeah.
Fly God is an awesome God 2, an album by Westside Gunn.
It came out
and
early.
And he's a really big star of Hitler's Hermes 8, both side A and side, or rather side B, more so from Westside. And tonight, the reason we're doing this more or less is that we're getting another Westside album, Fly God Records.
Yeah.
And it's going to be mainly featuring Stovegod. But if you're unfamiliar with Stovegod, his rapping style, he is melodic, poetic, drug rap.
Yeah, street. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you mix Jill Scott Heron and Pusha T.
That's what you get.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you get with Stovegod.
Yeah,
Stove.
Because he can flow over soulful production, boom bap production, and still give you that gritty rap. You know what I'm saying? That gritty drug talk. You know what I'm saying? And it flows, and it's almost elegant. You know, elegant.
It is. It's so elegant and eloquent.
There we
because
go.
He's not necessarily going to be your dance rapper. Like, you're going to be listening to what he says.
He got bars.
Yeah, his bars are another level. It's those, ooh, shit, like, you know, make a face type bar.
Yeah.
And it's almost every line.
Like when you, like that time when you first put me on, when I came over.
Uh-huh.
And the first song you played off this jam was Rolls Royce Brake Light.
Oh, yeah, I played the intro for you.
And what'd he say, Pat Kemp, what'd he say? The wire jank.
Oh.
The wire bar, that jank. When I heard the jank,
the wire hit the bank account.
Kind
I'm
of feeling like
Marlowe
again. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on, that's off the first track.
It's little shit like that you have to constantly catch. Constantly catch with Stovegod that just makes him so raw.
Mm-hmm.
And rapping over these loops that Rock Marciano put together is just crazy because... But let's talk a little bit about Rolls Royce Brake Lights, because that's one of the and it's one of the more popular tracks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
New artist, the first song is usually the most popular.
Yeah.
Because people don't just select a random one, they usually try to
go in order.
Yeah. But
they're not weirdos.
Damn if that wasn't the best intro track you could ever have for that kind of arena of music.
Mm-hmm.
For a boom bap track, and this came out, I want to say, like 2019-ish. 2020, because it was right before pandemic hit.
Yeah. During.
Like, really, really, during the pandemic, but before it really, really hit. You open up with, because Break the Pyrex had already been out, you know what I'm saying? That had already been out. But the impact that Rolls Royce Brake Lights has, and just seeing from his socials and how much people repost that, and Cocaine Cologne, you knew that you were finna be, or everybody knew from that first track, they were willing to keep listening, because the way that he executed every bar in a manner that you haven't really heard somebody rap like that before.
And when you also think about how it opens up like a presentation. Like Rock Marciano made sure you heard those trumpets at the beginning. Dun, dun, dun. Exactly. Like an opening of a movie or some shit like that. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
And then you get to see like just how like it opens up to this fanfare. And then it's still Rose Wars Break. Like he's still singing it. Uh-huh. Like this is like... It's like the opening to a movie. You know what I'm saying? This would be the perfect soundtrack to a drug dealing pimping movie. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Like the Rose Wars Break Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning, but the work come late night. Like and the way he sings that and the way that he just puts together melody in general. Because if you... referencing something outside of Reasonable Drought. That's the game, the last single he put out. Mm-hmm. That's the game, that's the game.
Yeah.
Like the way that he just effortlessly sings and it doesn't seem pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
is true.
That's one of the mind.
It's not the best singing.
He's not.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. It's not the best singing, but he's singing.
Yeah.
And he's not going to let nobody tell him otherwise, especially what he's talking about.
Exactly. And it's the way that he's... And it's not even the way he puts things when he's singing. It's just like... He has the perfect coke rap voice.
Yeah.
You believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's his subject matter.
Yeah.
If we want to get into, I mean, he can do everything. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's one of those people that could write everything. But as far as him performing coke rap, it just,
that's his
he name. Might be better than Push for real.
I don't know. We need to see him on the track. Because Push is still rapping some of his best coke bars now.
Yes, but... I feel like that's the best comparison
you can
get to Stove God. And Stove God, as much as Pusha T is one of my favorite rappers of all time, sometimes you listen to Stove God and it's like, it seems a lot more real. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's because of the way it's put together. Because Rock Marciano, as a producer, really, like you said, just opening up with the fanfare on Rose Wars Break Lights. One thing that he really did on this album was make sure that there was one sound.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one complaint that could be made, I guess, about this album, is that it's just a coke rap song. 12 times, and then there's one girl, the girl song, Gloria Club. I can't fucking pronounce
Damn.
It.
Gloria Blumentine.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But with Rock on the boards and just doing all the production for this album, Rock Marciano shows that Boom Bap never died.
Yeah.
It was just hiding in his basement, hiding in his studio.
Because you listen to, and the thing about it is, I don't want to get in on the Rock Marciano trend either, but you listen to his projects. Go back and listen to Pimp.
Listen to the Pimp Fire
Strike Back. Listen to Mount Marcy. You know what I'm saying? Listen to those James. Listen to Marcialago.
Yeah, listen to everything he's put out. And you'll see a consistent, like, golden, top tier, greatest producer of all time body of work of real rap beats.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But you know what I also meant to highlight too is it makes sense for Stove God to get the Rock Marciano cosign because you don't know why.
What's that?
Rock Marciano used to be on Busta's albums back in the day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was on a conglomerate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Rock Marciano been around.
Yeah.
Rock Marciano's an OG.
Rock Marciano is not a new name. If he's a new name to you, it's because you've been ignorant of the 20 plus years of work he's been putting in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when he came with Stove God with this package of beats that damn near sounds like a movie reel, it's like you said, it's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody like Busta Rhymes having, I know this guy and I know this guy, and you put them together and they create a literal instant classic. If you're a Boom Bap head or underground head, you know about this album and you know just fucking how monumental it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm like, this album, and it's a lot to do with Rock Marciano's production.
It is.
The way that these loops and you just get these empty, the beats almost feel empty so that Stove God's voice comes through and his emotion and what he's trying to convey comes through. Because the Bird Box, you could niggas in a Bird Box couldn't stand on a box. And
they couldn't stand on the back of a bird.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Box, when he does those bars and you see the production just kind of drop, or you know what I'm saying, the beat just like... That's like, you know what I'm saying? This is this is one of those things, like, if we see this again, they'll have a duo album like Freddie Madlib.
Yeah. Freddie Madlib or like goddamn, yeah. Or Mad Villain.
Mad Villain is.
I know, but damn, goddamn it.
God Mad Villain is untouchable.
It is untouchable.
Untouchable.
Untouchable as a talking about as far as producer.
Because this is I'm talking about we fucked up by not putting this on our collab albums of all time.
That's true. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's the combination of producer and rapper melding together. And I'm not saying it's the exact same level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A Mad Bill and me.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? That's the equivalent, you know what I'm saying, of the melding of two. Like, you know what I'm saying? Almost we could say Rakim and Eric B. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
DJ is DJ Mommy. I can see that. All right, so let's get into the standouts, I guess, that we haven't really talked about.
Yeah.
Which would be, I'm sitting here looking at, I mean, they're all fucking standouts.
Yeah, facts.
Money Puddles is crazy because it's such a suspenseful beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just those keys, the way the keys drop, and it's no beat. He's just talking.
Yeah.
And when I say Stove God is a poet, it's tracks like Money Puddles. You listen to it, and you say, this is rap, but this is spoken word.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the Jill Scott Heron comes in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This is spoken word. This is, I will always say, I always bob my head to the beat when Stove God's rapping, but never to his flow.
Yeah.
Because his flow, you got to listen to.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like putting on an educational video in school, bro. Yeah, you can get the entertainment from the bright colors and the fact you're getting to watch a video, but you need to pay the fuck attention for real.
Attention to the
you know what I'm saying?
They might be corny.
The beat, nah, he ain't never been on a corny beat.
I'm talking about educational videos in school.
Oh, yeah. But Stove God, that's his thing. It's like he detracts away from the, doesn't detract, but he attracts so much attention with his voice and the way it plays out now because of the way Rock produced him on this album.
Yeah. Because what's the jank where he's, what the jank he's talking about the girl? And he was like, yo, this is a performance song.
Yeah.
This is a performance. Like, this is like, because Rock Marciano laced the beat to where it was like a 70s type jank. You see somebody with the shag. Like, almost how Silk Sonic does it.
Like,
you know
I said, it's all, this is all inspired by P Culture.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Pushing P.
A lot of rock shit is
church related. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Pimp Fire Strike. Church related. Yeah, come on.
You know what I'm saying? And he just brought that feeling to drug rap. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it feels like Superfly. It feels like the Mac. You know what I'm saying?
My favorite song is Balenciaga Stamp. You know what I'm saying? That's the best. And Trump is coming. And that's how you close an album.
But Balenciaga Stamps is up there, and it's such an amazing end to an album, especially with how it's like the progression of this album, the sequencing of this album is beyond amazing. Because you're saying that the last track, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite track.
So your favorite track being Balenciaga Stamps when fucking Rose Royce Brake Lights is that good.
Yeah.
It's almost mind blowing because there's still Money Puddles, Lava Lamp, John Starks, Cocaine Cologne.
Cocaine Cologne is one.
I mean, yeah, no, but it's just, and that's going down the list.
And the thing about it is, I love this project, but I am a fan of the latter half.
But that's where my love comes in. It's such a fucking cinematic and progressive, like a perfectly sequenced experience as an album, that when you get to the last part, you're kind of like damn near overwhelmed. Like, how did I just experience that much tough shit? Mm-hmm. So you almost damn near develop a recency bias because that's how I was my first 20 listens to the album.
Yeah, facts.
Balenciaga Stamps, Lava Lamp, John Starks, Cocaine Cologne. That was the album to me. And then when I, like a few days later, when I got into my 30th and 40th listens, I was like, wait, hold up. How the fuck are we just ignoring Break the Pyrex?
I think I was the opposite.
So you were first half first?
I was first half first because I used to only listen to Rolls Royce Brake Lights off of, I had listened to that first. Every time.
It wasn't until
Alexa, play If I Ruled the World by Esco. As I scroll through in my escrow. Ever since I heard that part and I pay attention, and that shit just always been in my
back of your head.
That's one of my favorite bars right there.
And man, see, my thing is always the still smelling like a brick right now. Like, for a good while, I would play that bitch on repeat while I played the game and shit. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a song before that song. You know what I'm saying? We made it to the top floor.
That's what I'm saying.
That
sounds
like an outro song, too.
And then he came back with the even. And that's what I'm saying. It's a really, it's weird that somebody comes in with something that so many people deem an instant classic.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do, like we said before, with the fact that he's a unique rapper to what people are used to hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Rock Marcy has perfected that area of production, and the fact that it's sequenced perfectly.
Yep.
It brings you, like, every time we talk about an amazing album, we talk about how it's sequenced, because it brings you through a ride.
Uh-huh.
You're on a roller coaster with it. Man, I'd be up and down. It might just be straightforward,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Kind of like this one is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But
or it's quick
nonetheless,
and concise.
Yeah, nonetheless, it's still amalgamated.
A cohesive.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Cohesive album.
Yes, yes.
And that's really, and that's, there's a lot of facts that make an album great. But that is a big, that is a big factor to make. Because, truthfully, great albums really don't have skips. Some do. Some do.
What great albums have skips for real?
I don't know. Me, a skip for me is
because a skip is a song, is a song you just like the least. Like,
yeah, to me.
Like Late Registration, because I hate to talk about other people's albums when we're doing. But Late Registration is a classic with no skips. But Bring Me Down is a song I always
Yeah, you
skip.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's
you
like
know what
that.
I'm
like, to me, it's like mainstream songs.
Yeah.
Like the songs that's on the radio. Like, Take Care is a classic album, but I'm not going to listen to Headlines every time that song.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
that's
I
what
Headlines.
I mean. That's what I mean.
I actually don't like that song at all.
I actually do like that song.
I don't like that song, yeah. But to wrap up our conversation, let's give it a few minutes, just about this album in general, the impact that this album has. Stove God has this unique kind of like, I won't, it's an upside because he can rap his ass off, but he has this unique accolade where his first one, everybody called it classic.
Mm-hmm.
His first one, everybody wanted a verse. His first one, he was the biggest thing on the underground. His first one, he wasn't really in public.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That, like we said, most people... most people don't know who Stove God is, mainly because Stove God isn't on socials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he
is,
but he's not on socials, hugged up with your favorite podcaster or your other favorite rapper.
Yeah.
Like he said, they say they got me
on
cameras.
That's why
to
this
day
I
don't
fuck
with
cameras. Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's one of those people that. Stove God's raps create this character that he reinforces seemingly in real life by just putting the music out.
Yep.
He said, I might just sell my next one for seven,
make
seven of them and make them seven for $1 million apiece. And he did it.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
I still don't believe he did it, but.
He actually did it.
Damn.
And the thing is, he has the impact because crossing over, even being a conglomerate guy, essentially capturing the fan base, Griselda fan base,
mm-hmm.
because he has Griselda's fan base in the palm of his hand.
That's
him true. Doing that created a lane where he doesn't have to put anything out under, like when he puts something out under Stove God Cooks, it'll be damn near as anticipated as Carter 3 was.
Mm. Damn.
That's what the underground is waiting
underground,
for.
Yeah, facts. We are waiting for that.
We got 12 tracks and a few features here. We got a lot of features.
Yeah, features.
You know what I'm saying?
We got enough features to make an album.
Yeah, but we don't have
another album.
12 more. It's just Stove God tracks. We've got one or two.
Yeah, we do.
Like, he's starting to set another trend for the underground.
Mm-hmm.
To come out hot. Like, he does. He's not setting the trend. Reinforcing it. Because Drew did it.
My comment been out for
Yeah, now nah, Drew did it. Coming out of your first time and people being mind blown.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I'm saying. People being mind blown by your first attempt is something that the
we
underground
the
is
right.
really the king of.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very... There are a lot of underground artists. There are a lot of popular underground artists. But there are very few underground artists that can break mainstream
mm-hmm.
without having to go mainstream.
Mainstream, yeah.
That's kind of like Benny kind of fucked, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like a lot of Stove God's fan base, I feel like, is usurping Benny's. Because it's the same, you know what I'm saying, the authenticity.
Yeah, it is. I get that. I can get that.
I feel like Reasonable Drought is the most authentic album we've gotten in years, without a doubt. Would you say that?
I gotta go look back at the albums that came out this past couple. Well, 2 years.
Yeah, the last.
That just jump out. Yes. Authentic.
Yeah, but you okay? I no. This is definitely the most authentic feeling, because My Crazy Life is up there. That was an authentic album.
I'm talking about
street shit.
All right. Okay.
Really authentic, like.
Oh yeah, My Crazy Life.
Yeah. But other than that, and this is me, I'm having a lapse in memory right now, but in immediate memory, this album, is the most authentic feeling album we've had in a minute. Like, nobody in their right mind would.
I don't know. 21 Savage when he came out was really authentic.
That's true. Yeah, the mixtapes were. Yeah, that's very true. I walked that back.
Yeah. Slaughter King is. Yeah, we gotta do that. Yeah, I was wondering if we're gonna do that.
Yeah. So, what do you give this out of 10?
10. I give it 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a perfect one.
There's no reason for me to slide it.
It's a perfect album.
I don't see a reason to slide it.
You got anything? Any more notes? We just kind of wanted to gush over one of our favorite albums.
Yeah.
For a minute. Every track is beyond listenable. Fuego. If you have not heard it, please listen to fucking Reasonable Drought by
Do your ears a favor.
Yeah.
Do your life a favor.
Yeah. Because I'll end the episode.
You can end the episode, man.
All right, guys. Well, thank y'all for listening to another episode of Permanent Record presented by Simple Math Matrix. Thank y'all for joining us to hear us just fanboy over another one of our favorite albums.
And put you on to it.
Yes, sir. And ma'am. Or ma'am. Or both. Or whatever you are. Or they. Oh, yeah. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us on all platforms, including Spotify, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Oh, damn.
At Simple Math Matrix on all of them except for Twitter. That is at Simple Math MTRX. Make sure to go below and subscribe to this video because I know you're watching it on YouTube because that's the only place we put our videos.
We do put them on Twitter.
Yeah, we put clips on Twitter. Make sure that you put that bell on. Get them fucking notifications. Like I said, subscribe, like this shit.
Share.
Run us up so we can continue doing this shit. We always appreciate y'all. And it's been another motherfucking episode of
Permanent Record.
Yes, sir. You out?